This is Billy Brimman, the voice of One Witness radio broadcast, coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And oh my, are there lots of things to witness today. We're going to be talking about prophecy all the week long. Prophecy. Two-thirds of the Bible is prophecy. Some of that prophecy has already come to pass. But there are many things that have not, that have still not happened. We're going to be looking at them because today so much of it is happening in this world all around us. And it does indeed point to the final book of the Bible, which is prophecy, the book of Revelation. But we're going to look at the final prophecy that we have in that book of Revelation, last chapter, final book, what Jesus said to us. This is his prophetic word, and everything that's happening right now is pointing to this prophecy coming to pass. The Master said, Revelation 12:22-7, it is recorded, "Behold, I come quickly." Verse 12, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Verse 20, "He which testifies these things saith, Surely I come quickly." And this is to be our response, "Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Sister Jeannie Wilkerson always said, there are two golden hooks upon which all world events hang: the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord. We're coming right to all other events, she said, pale in the light of these two great events. Because after all, let's think of it. God is the creator of this world, of this universe. He has plans for mankind. They are written in his book, and he foretells much of it in Bible prophecy. Jesus is coming. Two-thirds of the Bible is prophecy. It is the way of the living God to tell us things before they happen, to reveal things before they happen. It is his character. It is his self-imposed litmus test for being the true and living God. As I said, Bible prophecy is God's own litmus test for his being the true and living God. He tells us things before they happen. There are some wonderful passages in Isaiah, and I do hope you have your Bible with you. That's the best way to study Bible prophecy, is from the Bible. And so we do want you to write us in this week, or send us an email, or contact us at billybrim.org, or write us at Box 40, Branson, Missouri. We want to know if you're listening. And we want to know if you do get your Bible out. Do you go on archives and listen to the radio, or do you listen to a certain radio station? And we'd also like to have, this week, if you can send an offering for our radio ministry, it would be greatly appreciated. Bible prophecy is what we're studying all this week. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 42. Now, the first seven verses are talking about the Messiah, the coming Messiah, the Mashiach, the Anointed One. These are prophetic verses. And it begins in Isaiah 42:1, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the nations. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." He is given down in verse 6, "for a covenant of the people of Israel, and for a light to the Gentiles, to the nations." These are all prophetic verses concerning the Messiah. Some have to do with his first coming, and those were not at that time fulfilled. We know that he did come. Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, did come. But parts of this, too, will be completely fulfilled when he comes again. But now, after he's spoken and prophesied about the Messiah, God gives us something of his own character. You can always find the character of God in the Bible. He has to reveal himself to us. He is, He is self-revealed to us. Oh, we can look at nature. We can look at trees. We can look at birds. And we can get some of the right ideas about God. But we can get the only true, real revelation of God as he reveals himself to us in his name, in his word. And so here we see the character of God revealed. Verse 8, this is Isaiah 42:8. I am Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. We say Jehovah. No one really knows how to pronounce it, but I'm going to say Jehovah. I am Jehovah. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. He means here that he won't give his glory to idols or other false gods. Verse 9. Now, when he's telling us he's Jehovah and he's telling us what he does, listen to his self-revelation. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The Hebrew says, before they sprout, I tell you of them. That is his own litmus test for being God. We're going to see that particularly now as we look at another passage of Scripture. To understand this passage of Scripture best, you're going to have to know that the word has to be rightly divided. 2 Timothy 2:15 admonishes us, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is the Bible. But here we see that it has to be rightly divided. It can be wrongly divided, and that's where all error comes from. But the word must be rightly divided. And one of the main things you need to know to rightly divide the word is that different chapters can be written to different people groups. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no one offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. 1 Corinthians is a letter written to the church, the body of Christ. All the Bible's for the church, but not all the Bible's about the church. Some of the Bible is about other people. And to rightly divide it, you need to know which scripture is talking about you, the church, or about the Gentiles, or about the Jews. So this verse tells us not to offend any of those three groups. It was written in New Testament times. That means those three groups are still around. And those three groups, a scripture can be written to them. Whenever you are rightly dividing scripture, whenever you're studying scripture, ask yourself, to whom is this passage speaking? If it's speaking to the Jews, let it speak to the Jews. If it's speaking to the nations, the Hebrew word for Gentiles, translated Gentiles in the Old Testament, is nations. The Jews, the nations, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the church of God. So when we look at a scripture, a passage, if we're going to look at prophecy particularly, we're going to have to be sure we rightly divide it. When he's talking to the Jews, of course, you know the Jews, the Old Testament, they all came from Abraham. And there were God's covenant people. Who are the Gentiles? They're the nations. They were outside the covenant. And who's the church of God? Any Jew, any Gentile who believes in God, who believes in Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, becomes born again and becomes a brand new creature, a creature that never was before, a species that never was before. So, a new person, a new creation, that's the ecclesia. And the ecclesia is the body of Christ. So we're not going to offend the Jews, according to this scripture. We're not going to offend the nations. And we're not going to offend the church of the living God. Now, we're going to read a chapter, and we're going to use these things that we've just learned to see God and to see prophecy. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 43. Now, chapter 43 begins. He's telling us who he's writing to. But now thus saith Jehovah that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. He's talking to Jacob and he's talking to Israel. He's not talking to the church. He's not talking to the nations. He calls the Jews Jacob oft times when he's talking to the flesh Jews. He doesn't call them Abraham. Abraham had another son. He doesn't call them Isaac. Isaac had another son. He calls them Jacob because all Jacob's sons became the nation of Israel. And he's telling them that they're going to go through some hard times, some rivers, some floods, but he'll always be with them. And in verse 5, he says, "Fear not, I'm with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back, and bring my